Please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. The greatest sermon that was ever preached is recorded right here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus in this sermon addresses some of the most basic questions of life. What is this life about? How can I be happy? What does God want me to do? Matthew 6, I want to read verses 24 through 34. Very practical stuff for us, especially, I think, this time of the year. Matthew 6, 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus is telling the people of his kingdom, "I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to worry because your Father knows everything you need. He knows your circumstances and he knows your situations. He knows how to take care of you. Trust him. Trust him." For a lot of people, Jesus' teaching here seems to be overly simplistic. After all, you and I live in a modern complex world. Someone has estimated that 40 million people in the United States, these are adults 18 and over, suffer from some kind of anxiety disorder. Anxiety is part of living in this fallen world. If we didn't have sin, we wouldn't have anxiety, or we wouldn't have sinful anxiety. Doctors tell us that anxiety is a normal biological reaction. It's the body's way of telling us that this something's not right. Anxiety is a God-given emotional response that helps us act appropriately in the face of some kind of danger. But when anxiety becomes persistent, irrational, or overwhelming to the point that it interferes with our normal activities, we have a problem. We have a problem. You say, well, is it a sin problem? I don't know. Could be. It depends. Depends on if you are trusting God or if you're looking to yourself for the answers to all those what-if questions. What if? What if somebody breaks into my house? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if Social Security goes bankrupt? What if I don't have enough money when I retire? What if I get trapped in an elevator? What if the bridge collapses that I'm driving over? What if the gas pedal on my car gets stuck and the brakes don't work? What if that happened to me one time? What if? And we can become so paralyzed with the what ifs. So what are we supposed to do with anxiety issues? What are we supposed to do? Well, right at the beginning, let me tell you, there's two things that we need to do. Or one thing we need to do and the other thing you may need to do. First thing that's so important is look for answers to these what if questions in God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and by implication the people of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Or in Proverbs chapter 3 regarding health, Solomon writes, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." How? By keeping God's word. Secondly, what can we do with anxiety problems, especially if they persist and they're overwhelming and they don't stop? What do we do? Well, some of you may also need to seek advice or help from a medical doctor and get a physical checkup. What do you find that in the Bible? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 9:12, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. The implication is if you're sick, you need a physician. And so let's look at the text. I want to begin in verse 25. Therefore, connects everything that Jesus is about to say with what he just said. No one, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, two lords. You can't live for God and at the same time live for money or for things or for this world or live for yourself. If you try, you're only going to make yourself miserable with fear and frustration and worry. Worry is a natural result of having our thoughts, affections, and desires focused upon ourselves or on things instead of focusing our thoughts and desires and affections upon God. Jesus said three times in this passage we just read, "Do not worry." Verse 25, "Do not worry about your life." The Greek word for worry here comes from a root word that means to divide or to separate. The Greek word is used a few times in a positive sense. It's not just negative. Sometimes it's positive. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 12:25, speaking of the church, he's writing to the Corinthians and he says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That they should have the same loving concern and devotion to each other. Or Philippians 2:20, Paul says, "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care." That's the word, care for your state. But Jesus isn't talking about this loving concern or care for others. He's talking about a fearful love, care, and concern for yourself. Do not worry about yourself, your life. In an article written by Paul Tripp in the Table Talk magazine some years ago, Mr. Tripp says this. He says, "Worry is one of the dirty secrets of the church. Perhaps it renders us timid, passive, and doubtful when our theology tells us that we have every reason to be courageous, active, and confident. The difficulties of life in this fallen world are the occasion of our worry, but not the cause. Worry is not caused by what exists out of us. Worry is caused by what is going on inside us. Did you get that? I believe it's true. Worry, he says, let me say it again, is not caused by what exists out of us. Worry is caused by what is going on inside us. Sin causes every one of us to live for ourselves. That is, to shrink our lives to the size of our lives. Shrink everything down to my little world. Sin causes us to reduce the field of our dreams and concerns down to our own wants and our own needs and our own feelings. Sin makes us scarily self-focused, self-absorbed, and self-motivated. Without realizing what we've done, we begin to look for identity, meaning, and purpose, and our inner sense of well-being horizontally. Horizontally, we look to the broken and ever-changing situations and hardships of this world for our purpose and our inner rest. We're self-centered people. I'm reminded of that every single day when I look at myself. When I get on my knees and I pray, "Oh God, have mercy upon me, save me from the sinful man that I am." For the most part, disoriented, self-oriented thoughts are the causes, is what causes us to be anxious and worried. So Jesus tells us, present imperative tense, don't worry. Literally, stop stressing yourself out. Stop thinking so much about yourself and all of the what ifs. For reasons why you and I shouldn't worry, and Jesus gives us the reasons. First reason, worry is an expression of unbelief. Verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more of more value than they? Thinking about last week, we're talking about the incarnation when Jesus was conceived in the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph took Mary as his wife and they went down to Bethlehem. Joseph's a carpenter. Surely he could find work. Surely he did. And they had clothes on their back. But what are they going to eat? Where are they going to stay? I mean, what if nobody hired him? He could have been paralyzed up there in Nazareth and said, "Well, I can't go down there. I have no money. And there are no Food Lions and Kroger's down there." Worry is an expression of our unbelief. It may have been that as Jesus was preaching this sermon, he looked up overhead. There's a flock of birds flying by and he pointed to them and he said, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't plow. They don't plant, but they still eat." How? How do they eat? It's called providence. God opens his hand and he feeds every living thing. Providence. God takes care of the birds. And that doesn't seem like a lot maybe to you, but did you know that birds eat a lot? You may have heard the expression, at least it was my wife's family, we heard it all the time, so-and-so eats like a bird. That means they don't eat very much. But the truth of the matter is, birds eat a lot. Most birds, comparatively speaking, eat a whole lot more than people do. They Most birds eat 50% of their body weight in a day. Hummingbirds eat more than their body weight in a day. When's the last time you ate more than your body weight in a day? Elephants only eat about 2% of their body weight in a day. Birds eat a lot. And the point is that if God feeds the cardinals and the hawks and the pigeons and the crows, why should we worry about eating? You and I, Jesus says, are more valuable to the Lord than all kinds of birds. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, referring to the birds, their heavenly Father feeds them. What does your Bible say? It says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Verse 28. So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You can almost imagine Jesus pointing to a field full of flowers and saying, look how beautiful that field is. Your Father in heaven planted all those beautiful flowers and he made them colorful. And if God dresses the fields with beautiful flowers, don't you think he's going to take care of you, make sure that you have clothes that are nice to put on? Don't you think that God will take care of you, O you of little faith? Worry is a faith problem. Worry is a failure to trust God's provision for us. When we worry, we are in effect saying, Lord, you really don't know what I really need. You don't know what's best for me. There's a sense in which worry is an emotional protest against God's providence in our lives. We get frustrated at him because he doesn't do what we think he should do. He doesn't provide for us the way we think he should provide for us. Second reason why we shouldn't worry is because worry doesn't do any good. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature, can add 18 inches to his height? Who can add 6 inches unless you put on some heels or something? But I mean, you can't really add anything to your height. Especially by worrying. Worry doesn't change anything. It doesn't fix anything. And it never helps us. Worry not only doesn't help us, worry hurts us, according to the scriptures. Psalm 37:8, do not fret, do not worry. It only causes harm. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Not helpful. Doesn't do anything for us. It hurts us. Thirdly, worry makes us like the rest of the world. Verses 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The word Gentiles could be translated the people or the nations or the multitudes. When we worry, we bring ourselves down to the level of the unbelieving world around us. They worry all the time. They have to worry. We bring ourselves down to the level of the people who don't know God. People who have nothing to live for except for themselves and for the things that they have. God knows what we really need. He knows that we have to eat. He knows that we have to drink. He knows that we want to clothe ourselves. And so, you and I, those of us who are believers, and again, I'm not assuming everyone's a believer, but if you are a believer, you can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or you can say again with the psalmist in Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Or Romans 8:32. That's one of those promises I was thinking about this morning. Romans 8:32. The scripture says, He who did not spare His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And we can use that in our times of prayer. Fourth reason why we shouldn't worry is because God is King. God is the King. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. God's kingdom rules over this whole earth. All people and circumstances and situations are under God's sovereign, meticulous rule and government. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad. Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Daniel chapter 4, God does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the world, and no one can restrain His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? And He gives, and He gives, and He gives. No good thing will He withhold from those who are His people. Only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. How does He know what's going to happen tomorrow? See, those are what ifs. What if this happens? What if this happens? I was reading about the what ifs. And you know, I mentioned, what if the house gets broken into? And some man one time heard a noise and went downstairs, and there was a burglar. And he said, I'm so happy to see you. My wife's been fearing you for many times. She wanted to meet you, bring you upstairs. We have a tendency to be so fearful about things that may happen, might happen. And yet God is the only one that knows tomorrow. And we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow because He holds tomorrow in His hand. He's the one that predetermines what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why He knows what's going to happen. True faith says, I know. Or as Paul says, we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. How do we know that? Because we know God. And we know God is sovereign. We know God is overruling everything. We know that He works all things together for the good of His people. Don't worry. You got it? All right. What are some lessons? What are some lessons other than the don't worry part? Lesson number one is the lesson of faith and freedom. The lesson of faith and freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said to the Jews, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth? Truth is, God is in control of my life. God is the one who's so generous to give and give and forgive and bless His people. All we need to do is trust in Him with all our hearts. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. We know our God. We know and we believe. And believing the truth about our sovereign, loving, generous, wise Father and Savior makes us free. Makes us free from the dominion of sin. Makes us free from the paralyzing fears and worry of this world. But at the same time, we are not free to be lazy, undisciplined, and irresponsible. I have to bring that up. You know why I bring that up? Because I know me. There's a tendency that I have, and I think you have the same tendency to be lazy, undisciplined, and irresponsible. God provides food for the birds and for all His creatures, but the birds and the creatures have to do their part. They don't just sit up there in the tree and chirp. The manna miraculously appeared every morning for the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. But they had to go out and get it. They didn't just wait for it to come to them. They had to go out and get it. And you and I have to be responsible and faithful to do what we know God wants us to do. We need to pray and we need to work. We need to do all that we know that we're supposed to do. If you don't, if you're not responsible, if you're undisciplined, no wonder you're worried. God wants us to be disciplined and not lazy and not irresponsible. God doesn't want us to be fixated on ourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Second thing, we're not free from trouble. To be free from trouble doesn't mean to be free from worry. Freedom from trouble and freedom from worry, not the same thing. God clothes the grass of the field, but tomorrow that grass is cast into the oven. God feeds the sparrow. Not one of them falls from the tree except by the will of the Father. And yet they do fall from the tree and they do die. God doesn't promise any of us a trouble-free life. In fact, verse 34, look at it. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That verse seems to indicate that every single day there's going to be some kind of trouble because we live in a sin-filled world. Our Father just promises that He's going to use those troubles and those trials and those problems and those pains and use them in our lives to bring out something good. And the question is, will we trust God or will we choose to worry? Trusting God and worrying are opposites. Freedom from worry is not based upon some imaginary guarantee that God is going to take care of us in such a way that nothing bad, nothing hard, nothing difficult is going to come into our lives. The whole family ran into a tractor trailer. Gabriel's brother has a brain tumor. Freedom from worry is based on our belief that our Heavenly Father is loving and sovereign and good and wise and faithful. God, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are liberated from worry only when we begin to understand that God in His infinite wisdom and ways uses problems and pressures and He uses pain in such a way as to promote what is really good for His people, those who believe on Him. So ahead of us, there are lots of issues. There's a lot of what ifs about tomorrow. In fact, all of tomorrow is a what if for me. And it is for you too, if you realize it. And yet, the what if is God is in control of my what ifs. God is in control of my tomorrows. He knows what's going to happen. The second lesson is the lesson of living one day at a time. Verse 34, again, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As I mentioned, God is the only one who knows about tomorrow. If He gives us tomorrow, He might not give us tomorrow. He might not give me tomorrow. But this is the day that the Lord has made, so we are to live this day for the Lord. How do we live this day? The just shall live by faith, by trusting God. There's a hymn. I don't think we've ever sung it here, but we used to sing it when I was a kid. The hymn goes like this: day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best. lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and with rest. The third lesson is the lesson of peace. And you've heard this before from me, but I think it's so important to understand peace. Real peace is not the absence of conflict or controversy or trouble or pain. Real peace is the presence of God in the midst of conflict, controversy, trouble, and pain. Can I say that again? And then you repeat it with me three times? True peace, or real peace, is not the absence of conflict, the absence of controversy, the absence of trouble or pain. Real, true peace is the presence of God in the midst of the conflict, controversy, troubles, and pain. Do you have the presence of God in your life? John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I just was thinking earlier about what Jesus said here about don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And yet we live in this complex, crazy, chaotic world, fallen world. And Jesus just says, don't worry. Well, didn't he know that we were going to live in this world? Didn't he know that what was going to happen? Didn't he know about these problems? Didn't he know about anxiety issues? Didn't he know about these things? And why is he so simplistic? Because faith is really simplistic. It really is simplistic. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. He doesn't give us a little wiggle room there. Be anxious for some things, but be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And the idea is there's something that's going to make us anxious. There's lots of things that will make us anxious. Don't be anxious, he says. Jesus says, don't worry. But bring that matter to God in prayer. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then I close with Isaiah 26:3-4. The prophet says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed fixed upon you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. So we're getting ready to start a new year. And we can either start the new year with all the struggles that are going on. They're not going to disappear. Social Security may go bankrupt. The banks may go bankrupt. They may. Your house may burn down. The car might break down. Your husband might die. I say that to my wife. He might die, but God is still on the throne. And we don't have to worry about the what ifs, because he controls today and tomorrow like he controlled yesterday. You don't have to worry about the what ifs. It doesn't do you any good to worry about the what ifs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Even when you don't understand, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Amen? Amen.